Our next speaker is Jose Pantoja, and the title of his presentation is Corn Nitrogen Fertilization and a Rye Cover Cropping System.
Good morning, everybody. It is a pleasure to be in here. As I was introduced, my name is Jose Luis Pantoja. I am a graduate research assistant at Iowa State University. In there, I work with Dr. John Sawyer and Daniel Barker in two projects as part of my PhD program, and today I'm going to present a summary of one of those projects, which is entitled the Corn Nitrogen Fertilization in a Rye Cover Cropping System. Corn is one of the main crops grown in the Midwest area, and the timeline for corn production usually follows the same pattern, with corn planting taking place late in April and corn harvest taking place early in October. And most farmers apply nitrogen to that corn mid-May, but it is well known that corn doesn't absorb all that nitrate. So some residual nitrate remains in the soil, and that nitrate has the potential to be lost by leaching or by runoff. And since concerns about the loading of nitrogen to the Gulf of Mexico have increased, some alternative practices have to be developed and implemented. And one of those alternatives is the use of cover crops. In most cases, cover crops are seeded just after the harvest of the main crop, and they are controlled before the planting of the main crop in the next fall, in the next growing season. Most of the cover crop growth usually happens in the springtime, but in some areas, some cover crop growth can be observed in the fall and in the southern areas of the state, even in the, during the winter time. As I said, the cover crop has the potential to absorb that residual nitrate, but the effects or the impacts of that cover crop to the main crop are still in debate and need evaluation. Due to cost, success in establishment, time planting growth, and the potential to reduce the nitrate, winter rye has been a common choice in the Midwest area among farmers. Therefore, the objective of my project is to determine the optimum corn nitrogen fertilization requirement and corn soybean productivity and not till corn soybean rotation system when grown in sequence with a winter rye. This project was established in 2008, and the data I'm going to present is from 2009 to 2011. The project is located at four sites representing contrasting land regions, soils, and climate conditions across Iowa. And each site, we have two fields under corn and soybean, and those fields rotate every year. And within each field, we have a split plot with four replications, where the main plot is the cover crop, I mean the rye and the no-rye, and the subplot are the six nitrogen rates from 0 to 225 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare in 45 kilogram increments. This nitrogen is applied as an early citrus urea and ammonia nitrate solution. As I say, the rye is drilled immediately after corn harvest or soybean harvest at the rate of 70 kilograms per hectare. The rye biomass is determined in the spring just before chemical control with herbicide. And after controlling the rye, the corn and soybean are no-till planted. The planting of soybean happens immediately after rye control, and we wait 7 days for planting the corn after the rye. Soil samples are collected during the spring in corn plots not receiving nitrogen fertilizer. And at bit 10, the corn is evaluated with an active canopy sensor to evaluate nitrogen stress. The grain yields are recorded with a combine and corrected for a standard moisture. Profile soil samples are collected in the fall to determine the soil nitrate status. Now, let's go to the results part. The rye biomass production varied among years. In 2009, the rye biomass production was low due to a cool and wet springtime, whereas in 2010, we had almost three times as much as rye biomass production compared to 2008 because the springtime was much more warmer. Whereas in 2011, the rye biomass production was lower than in 2010, but still greater than 2009. I want you to keep this figure in mind because this is going to affect the corn yields, as I'm going to explain later in this presentation. Now, what was the soil nitrate that was low in all cases and all sampling times, but some effect of the rye was observed early in the spring, in the spring sampling. I mean, some reduction in soil nitrate was measured due to the use of, due to the implementation of the rye within the system. But as the growing season progresses, those nitrate concentrations kind of level up. Again, in the fall, there was no effect of the rye of the on the soil nitrate status, and as expected, only a nitrogen rate effect was observed among the 3 years of the study and among all sites. Now, what was the effect of the rye on the corn plant biomass and the nitrogen stress? Well, at Biten, in 2009, as I say, the rye biomass production was low, so there was no effect of the rye on the corn growth and nitrogen stress at Biten. However, in 2010, I want you to see that the difference is much more greater when comparing the corn following the rye and the corn following the no rye. The difference is almost 6.06 units, and that indicates some allelopathic effect of the rye over the corn. In 2011, this difference remained consistent compared to the previous years, but it wasn't as big as 2010. The corn grain yield across sites varied among years. In 2009, again, the rye did not have much effect on the corn yields compared to the no rye, but this difference was much, much greater in 2010. In 2011, that difference was a little smaller than in 2010, but it's still significant. Surprisingly, the economical optimum nitrogen rate in 2009 and 2010 was the same for the rye and the no rye, but in 2011, a difference was observed, and my guess is that difference was due to a prolongated dry period that we had during the growing season, and that resulting an increase on the economical optimum nitrogen rate on the corn following the rye. And this is something we need to think about when implementing the rye in the system. We have a reduction in the yield at the economical optimum nitrogen rate. In 2009 and 2011, the reduction was 0.4 megagrams per hectare, whereas in 2010, that reduction was much, much greater. We are talking about 1.6 megagrams per hectare of corn yield. So now, in summary, and across years and sites, there is a reduction of 1 megagram in the corn yield, but the difference in the economical optimum nitrogen rate is not as big. I mean, again, that difference comes mainly from 2011. But something we need to think about is that the difference in the yield at economical optimum nitrogen rate was 0.8 megagrams per hectare. That, again, says that the rye has an allelopathic effect, a negative effect on the corn yield production. With respect to the soybean yield, we didn't see an effect of the rye in the soybean yields and any yield at sites, and the yield was basically the same these 3 years. So the conclusions from this project are as follows. Including winter rye in the corn soybean rotation system increased the economical optimum nitrogen rate in the corn only in 2011, but again, that difference was probably due to a prolongated dry period that we had during the growing season, reduced the corn at the economical optimum nitrogen rate by 0.8 megagrams per hectare, which represents 6% of the yields, did not affect the soybean yield, and rye shows the potential to reduce the soil nitrate early in the spring, but it doesn't show a potential to reduce the profile nitrate late in the season or in the fall. This project is going to continue to confirm the findings and to evaluate the effect of the rye in the corn and soybean productivity on a long-term basis, And also to confirm in the economical optimum nitrogen rate has to be adjusted or not when using rye as part of the system. This project is part of the climate change mitigation and adaptation in a corn-based cropping system, which is supported by the United States Department of Agriculture and the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, and is also supported by the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship through the Division of Soil Conservation. Thanks for your attention. Now I'll be more than glad to answer the questions that you may have. Yes, in the back. Yep. Do you mean in 2011? 2010. Well, it was an effect of two things, I guess. The first one, of the amount of dry biomass. We had a lot of residue covering the soil, and that kind of reduced the corn germination, or at least affected the corn germination in 2010. And in a couple of sites, we had a bunch of rain, and having that much residue kind of reduced the soil temperature, so that was also an effect on the corn grow and development.
I just want to know a bit more about how are you killing it, and then you mentioned 7 days before corn, why not a bit earlier?
Well, corn and rye are from the same family, so if we apply the herbicide and the residual herbicide is going to have an effect on the corn germination. And as I say, we apply a herbicide to kill the rye before the planting of the main crop.
You also mentioned allelopathy as a possible reason for reduced yield, especially in that 1 year, and I wonder how you can distinguish that from either the soil moisture effect or the temperature.
I saw that question coming, and actually I was talking the other day to one of the members of my committee, and he didn't know the answer, and he told me, well, many people have mentioned allelopathic effects, and many people have tried to identify a compound, let's say that something is coming up from the residue that kind of affects the growing of the corn or another crop. But what I can say is that when we have the residue, something is happening with the germination of the corn, and later in the season it seems like it reduces the development of that plant in the residue. Can we distinguish that? Probably. We haven't evaluated that in deep, but as I said, the project is going to continue. We are going to see some other alternatives to see what can we improve to help the rye affect in a much better way to the corn productivity. I didn't want to go that deep, but let's go to this slide. We noticed that effect in 2009. So for 2010, we kind of put the trash cleaners in the planter at the maximum capacity. So actually, in 2011, the rye didn't have that much residue. Sorry, the corn didn't have that much residue above to grow. But we still saw this difference. So probably it's not just a physical effect. Still, I think it's an allelopathic effect, and that needs further investigation.
Sorry, I'll shut up.
No, it's okay.
You didn't have any effect on the soybeans following the rise?
No, there was no. Well, based on the procedure that we are using, what I will say is that, okay, plant the rye after corn and before soybean, but try to use another cover crop, maybe a legume, after soybean and before the corn. So you are going to kind of change, kind of avoid that effect on the corn. But on soybean, there is no effect of the rye, and I don't know how to improve the rye effect on the soybean. Maybe what we can consider is kind of letting the rye to grow a little more during the springtime, but that's something actually farmers want to avoid. I mean, they want to plant as soon as they can just to get the more growing degree days during the season.
Okay, thanks, Jose.
Thank you.